John 8:13. We're picking up our study, and John just giving attention to reading. You know, I keep seeing these clips online of people who call themselves pastors or whatever they are, ministers, and the things they say. And I saw a friend sent me a meme about some lady on a TV show today and said that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah, and I was so relieved that she cleared that up for me. It's a while. It's like Jesus would say to them, have you not even read? Have you guys not even read what the Bible says? So tonight, let's read it, because it says so much, and it says so much clearly, even just on a surface, simple reading. So God, again, we thank you for your word. Please feed us. God, we come to you, our bread of life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus, John 8:13, the Pharisees therefore said to Jesus, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. Like, you don't have enough evidence to, just because you say it about yourself doesn't mean it's true, they're saying. And so Jesus answered, verse 14, and said to them, sorry about something in my mouth. Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from and where I'm going. I love that. Jesus, he knows who he is. He knows that he's God. He knows where he was. He knows where he's going. He says, you judge according to the flesh, and I judge no one. That's interesting. People say he's judging them there, but he's not. He's not condemning them. But they look on the outside, right? They don't have eyes to see. Like a Roman says, they didn't have faith, and so they stumbled. He says, and yet I do judge. And if I do judge, Jesus says, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. You know that legal argument, right? My dad was talking about it. He's got a court case for a lawsuit, and he can't just go in with the testimony of the doctor. The doctor has to show up, right? Otherwise, it's hearsay. And so Jesus is saying, even if I was judging, I'm still going about it the right way. Like, I have enough authority because I'm not alone. I am with the Father who sent me. Roll right there, Joy Behar. Jesus says he's the Messiah because he's with the Father. He's claiming to be God. Verse 17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Right? That Jesus claims that he was sent by God, and the proof is that God bears witness. Remember when Jesus was baptized? The voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon him, right? There's two other witnesses there. Then they said to Jesus, where is your Father? You know, Joseph might have been dead at that time too, or gone, is out of the picture. But Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. And he's talking about his heavenly Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. That's a big one. You know, Jesus says that the things he spoke were God's words. It wasn't even his own words. It was God's words, the Father's words. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him for his hour had not yet come. I think that's evidence too. If anyone else had said that, they would have ripped them out of there first thing, stoned them. But there's something different about Jesus. And there's something different about you, Christian, and people notice it. I've had conversations lately where someone asks me something about something they've seen in my life, and it takes me back at first because I don't see it. Then I realize, oh, they're seeing the evidence of God in my life, and they're wondering about it. That's it. That's the evidence of God, right? Sometimes you don't even see it, but other people see it. And so I think they saw that, and they had no power over him. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Jesus being judgmental there. No, he's telling them the truth. He's saying, without me, you're going to die in your sin. He's saying right there, he's the Savior. Because they seek him, and they can't go with him. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? They recognized that he was going to die, but he wasn't going to kill himself. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. That's not condemnation. That's fact. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am God, I am he, you will die in your sins. Right there, that's the way out of sin, is believing that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the one sent by God. That's the only way to be given life, like we read last time. Then they said to Jesus, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. Hey guys, I've told you plenty of times. We're going to see a little bit of that on Sunday in Romans. How God gives chance and chance and chance, and we toy with the things of God or we harden our hearts. And it's a scary thing to do that too many times. And he says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. That Jesus is the ultimate messenger of God. If you want to know what God says, listen to what Jesus says. And that's important too, that our own doctrine, right, is not our own ideas of what Scripture says, but what does Scripture actually say? That when we share our faith, are we looking for people to get to trust us, or are we looking for them to trust God? Verse 27, they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, verse 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. Like, why would Jesus send himself to the cross? He obeyed the Father to go to the cross. It was the Father's will to crucify him. And I love that Jesus says, that's when you're going to know that I'm God, when I'm dying on the cross, when I'm lifted up. And verse 29, he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him, right? Sin separates, but Jesus isn't separated from God yet. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Again, I say it all the time, but faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Are you struggling with faith, with knowing what God says, with believing what God says? Just keep reading it. Keep listening. It'll open your ears. I love that he says that the Father is with me, that God is with you, Christian. And if you're not a Christian, God wants to be with you, that we never have to go through things alone, and sin separates, but God does not want you to be separated. He wants you to know that he's with you every step of the way, in the car, at home, doing your homework, at work, when things are going bad, when things are going good, he is with you. So just keep serving him. Just doing what pleases him. Please God. And what pleases God, we've read recently? Faith. Faith pleases God. Knowing that God is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, I love that they believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That if you're really a Christian, you're going to keep reading the Bible. I think that that's a big thing. There's many people we were just talking about who claim to be Christian, but they have no appetite for the word. And again, you could liken it to a baby that comes out, right? If they don't eat, there's something really wrong. If you and I don't eat, right, maybe we need to go on a diet, should eat less. But if you and I don't eat, that usually means there's something very wrong. Or if you're eating but you're losing weight all the time, that probably means there's something very wrong. And so if you are Jesus' student, you have to abide in his word. You have to, it's kind of this chicken and the egg thing, right? Like, if you're his disciple, you're going to want to know what Jesus says. And if you want to know what Jesus says, you're going to be in his word. But if you don't want to know what he says, then I wonder if you really know him. You know, if you really want to know him. Because there's all sorts of nuance there with sin and other things, and we struggle, and sometimes we don't feel like doing it. We have to say no to our flesh, and we have to read it. But if you don't have any hunger at all to know what God wants to say, like at all, I would question whether you're born again. Because born again means to be alive, and to be alive means to be spiritually hungry. And when you do spend time in the Word, that's why I wonder about all these churches that don't even read the Bible, or read the Bible and make it say what they want it to say. It's no wonder they're not free. It's no wonder that American church is slaves to sin, because if we just knew what the Bible said, we'd realize we'd be free. We get slaves to do not taste, do not touch, don't marry, don't do this, do this. This day over that day, we're better than you, you're better than us. And if we just read the Bible, it would set us free from all that infighting and all that struggle and all that legalism. Verse 33, they answered Jesus saying, we are Abraham's descendants, right? Like, we're Jewish. And have never been in bondage to anyone. Like, we're not slaves. How can you say you'll be made free? Like, you're telling us we can be free, but we're not slaves. And Jesus answered them, said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. He was showing them that the bigger slavery was what they were doing, their sin, right? And he said that if you obey sin, you're not obeying God. If you obey sin, you're a slave to sin. If you obey God, you're God's servant. And the thing that makes the difference is who are you obeying? That shows who's in charge, right? You ever have two bosses at work and how hard that is? One boss tells you one thing, another boss tells you another thing. I had this job years ago, and I was thankful for it, but they need a little more organization, I think. One person would tell me one thing how to do the job, and then another person would tell me another way how to do the job. And I would get in trouble from one about the other, and I could never do it right. It ended up just not working out. I'm like, I just need the straight way, the way to do it. I need straight answers. And God will give you straight answers, and he's giving straight answers here that if you listen to Jesus, you're going to be a son. You're either a slave or a son. You can't be both. My kids are not my slaves. They have chores to do, but they're not my slaves. I call Mia my personal assistant, but that's out of her choice. She loves helping me and doing my things. She grabbed my bag when she saw me before. I didn't need her to carry it, but she wanted to carry it, so I let her carry it. But she doesn't have to. She's not my slave. She's my daughter. Jacob, on the other hand, he's my slave. But sincerely, that's the difference. God doesn't want you to be burdened. Even the priestly garments are meant to be linen and light. The work is easy, not to be sweated. And if you're a child, you're free. Kids can do whatever they want. They don't have to wait for the clock to be over, right, during the summer. Slaves have to know what time work starts and work ends. Verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word is no place in you. Does God's word have a place in us? When we hear it, does it go in us? Or do we cast it off? Is it comfortable? Does it live in us? Does it make us uncomfortable? They want to kill him. You know, that's the Bible says that perilous times will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, Paul says to Timothy, that people will not endure what the Bible says, because the Bible wants to kill your flesh, kill the sin in your life. And we don't like that, because we like our flesh. We like our sin. But it's no good for us. We need to let God's word have its place in us. And they answered and said to Jesus, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, this is tough too. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What was Abraham? The father of faith. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, right? Don't be surprised when they want to kill you for telling them the truth. You go tell the world the truth, that's sin. You're going to hell for it. They're not going to say, oh, thank you, you're so right. Some might. Most are going to want to beat you up, slash your tires, put you in jail, cancel you. But he says, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. They're kind of jabbing at him, saying, your mom had you illegitimately. Your mom wasn't married when she had you. You know, your father is, who knows? And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. To say that in that way is saying that he's one with God. There, we take that for granted, that this idea of the father and son relationship. We talked about it before, like father and son business, you know. Here you go. Jesus is saying he's God, that he's the Savior right there. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You know, understanding starts with listening. If you want to know what God has to say, you have to listen to what he's saying and have to consider it. Many people don't endure it. He says, you are of your father, the devil. They claim to be Abraham, religious, Jewish. But God says, no, you're of Satan. That's pretty rough. Go walk into a church next Sunday, a religious place, and have this conversation with them. See how well it goes. He says, you are the father of the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Because they want to murder, right? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus speaks from God's resources. Satan speaks from his own. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Wow. Because they were of their father, the liar. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? You know, if you're really looking for truth, right, what are you going to do? You're going to believe the truth when you find it. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to Jesus, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Right, that he's not even totally Jewish, he's half Jewish. And they think he's demon-possessed, right, again, because they don't necessarily know who his dad is. And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. I love that he even answers that. Like, that should be so obvious to them. So obvious to them, but it's not. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Again, they forget about eternal life. They just think about earthly death. And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. And again, they're like, you are saying that you're God. Are you really making yourself out to be God? And he says, it is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Well, I'll tell you right there, that's Jesus saying that he's the eternal God. Abraham was there, Abraham in the past, in the present, in the future. And the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Like, there's no possible way you saw Abraham. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. That's the name of God. He's not just saying, yeah, I was alive then. He's saying, I am, that I am God. And I was before Abraham. Even though he wasn't 50, Jesus existed before he was born in that stable. Then they took up stones to throw at him because he was blaspheming in their minds. And Jesus, because he was clearly saying that he was God. But Jesus hid himself. I wonder what that means. Did he hide himself like naturally? You know, did he throw the blanket up and disappear when the blanket dropped? Or was this something supernatural where he hid himself? You know, if God didn't want to be found, who could find him? And he went out of the temple going through the middle of them and so passed by. I think it was supernatural, to be honest with you. I think it was, they didn't see him. And he was right there. You know, the stories of, I think it was Corrie Ten Boom, right, in the concentration camp. She had a little Bible on her necklace and they had her stripped down and the guards didn't see it. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Love it. He's done arguing with these sons of Satan. And he sees a man who was blind. You know, that even in this, God's not blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Again, they had this idea that every ailment was related to sin. Now, that's true, right? Like, sickness in the world only exists because the world is broken and fallen. But just because you're sick or you're blind or you're poor doesn't necessarily mean that it's because of your sin. Now, if you gamble all the time and you're poor, that's different, right? Or you smoke cigarettes and you get cancer, well, kind of A plus B equals C, right? That it just happens. But if you're born blind, if you're a parent and your kid is disabled, you know, if you were drinking during pregnancy, maybe there's some sin result there, but a birth defect is just a result of the sin in the world. That's not your fault. And I wonder how hard it must be for a parent to have a child like that and what sort of guilt or wonder, you know, is it my fault? You know, I have friends who lost their child when he was little. He got sick and it wasn't their fault. But I wonder how many times it must play over in their heads that, oh, if I had done this differently or done that differently. And here, it's not his fault. He was just born blind. And this is a tough verse or a tough word out of God's mouth. He said, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. That God allowed it. God allowed these things to happen. And somehow God allows sin to show just how good he is. And we're going to see more of that on Sunday in Romans. But he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The night is coming when the light of the world is not in it anymore. You know, the light of the world is still here. The Holy Spirit, the church, we have the Word of God. The enemy wants to stamp this out, and he hasn't been able to. But there's going to come a day when the Holy Spirit steps back, and you think it's dark now? Wait for that. You know, God still ain't going to leave. He's still going to preach the gospel, and there's still lots. We're going to talk about that on Sunday a little too. But verse 6, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Remember, what are we made out of? Dust. Adam formed out of the dust. God remembers we're but dust, and Jesus used dust here. But again, that doesn't mean that's a formula. Just spit in the dirt and put it on someone's eyes. But I think it's interesting that God does it that way here. And Jesus said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen, I wonder what that blind man was thinking the whole way. Like, you know, could he feel the dirt in his eyes? Like at what point, like as he began to wash it out, right? Did Jesus, like, with the dirt and the miracle, put it in his eyes, and that dirt, you know, turned into new cells and DNA? I don't know. You know, like, I don't know if Jesus was, like, it's just interesting to think about. But, like, as he washed off and he began to see again, you know, I can't imagine what that must be like. I've seen videos of little babies who get, like, a hearing aid, and then they hear their parents' voice for the first time, or they put on glasses. But, you know, you had never seen color. You'd never seen your parents' face. You'd never seen a tree. And then all of a sudden you can see. And I like this. And he came back. He came back seeing, right? He found his way back to the man who healed him. He didn't just run off and say thanks. I think that too. If we're really healed by God, we're going to keep coming back, right? Like the little animal, the little stray dog that you feed him, right? They're going to keep coming back maybe. No, don't do it. If you see a stray dog, Jake, don't feed him. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Like, here's the glory of God. God heals this man, and it's a blessing in this man's life. But everyone begins to see that this man who has always been blind now sees. Like, here's God getting glory automatically. No one had to say. They just saw this man who was blind, and they see him seeing, and they're going, wait a minute. What just happened? And some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I'm he. Like, you know, like, no, that can't be him. And he's like, no, it's me. And therefore they said to him, how are your eyes opened? I love that. People are going to ask, how are your eyes opened, Christian? How is it that you are different? What is it that's different? Oh, well, I go to Mass 3 times a week, and I bow, and I sit, and I pay. No, it's, I was blind. Jesus showed up, and I can see. I can't explain to you how my eyes work. He put stuff on my eyes. I'm forgiven. That's all you can say. Jesus, right? And sometimes it's hard because you want to give him a better answer than that. Like sometimes I want to give a better answer, but the answer is always Jesus. I don't know, but he showed up. And that's the thing, believer, in trials in life and hard things, it's not necessarily the answer that God wants to show you. God, show me the truth. Show me the way. God wants you to see him. That God opens your eyes, not that you can figure out the right way to go necessarily, primarily, he just wants you to see him. He wants to look back and forth at you. He wants you to see him in it all. And then I'll show you the way, because you're going to realize, oh, you're the way. Wherever you go, I go. And that's what we need to share with people, that we're blind and he made us see. And you don't need the whole scientific answer. Just tell them about Jesus. He's big enough to witness for himself. And so he says, verse 11, he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Just told him straight up. So he says, so I went and washed and I received sight. And they said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. As soon as Jesus didn't stick around, right? That this man, you know, there was still a little bit of a juice on the table. It's getting this guy to like want to seek him, right? Will he seek him? Put a little bit in this. Is he going to seek him? Is he going to look for Jesus when he can't see him? He can see now, but he can't see. He doesn't know where Jesus is. He's got to go find him. But I think it's interesting, you know, like he tells him the truth, but what did this man have to do? He had to obey God, right? And it's been say, what is it? Trust and obey. I think there's a song. Yeah, right? I think it's pray, trust, and obey, right? Like we need to pray. We need to say, God, help me. God, what is going on? God, I feel this way. God, this happened. God, that happened. God, I sinned. God, I can't see. and listen for his word, be in his word, and what he says, do it. Oh, I can't go do that. Go to church every Sunday? Oh, that's too, no, I don't believe it. Well, if you can't do the simple things, how are you going to trust God in the complex things? Right? Oh, this, so whatever God says in his word, we just start trusting and start obeying, and we begin to see. Sometimes we want to see first, but we need to go and do what he says. He says, go and wash, and then you'll see. Sometimes we need to do that. Like, who's that guy in the Old Testament who didn't want to wash? And the servants told him, go wash seven times. Just go do it. And he did it, and he was healed of his leprosy. And we need to do that. Sometimes the answer in our life is simpler than we like to, than we make it out to be. We don't understand it, and so we don't want to do it. We don't want to obey it, and we just need to obey God, and then we'll see him. Verse 13, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Oh, good move. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Remember, you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. And he made mud, which was doing a work, right? Jesus did work in their eyes. You know, I saw this clip of, I think they were Hasidic Jews or very religious Jews, and they were on a plane. And the little kids had their yarmulkes and their curls all cute and religious out. But they had covers over the TV screens because they weren't allowed to use electronics on the Sabbath. And yet, they're in this airplane that's a giant electronic that's flying, right? Like, the hoops you got to jump through to follow these religious laws that really don't make any sense when you follow them through. You know, someone else is flying it. I'm just riding on it, right? Anyway, but that's what they're going to complain about here. It says, verse 15, then the Pharisees also asked him again how he'd received the sight. He said to them, he put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Hello? This guy was blind. The guy put mud on his face and he can see? Usually you put mud in your eyes, you can't see. You see worse with mud in your eye, don't you? And then others said, how is a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. Like, he's got to be a sinner. How can he do this? Well, the answer is he's not a sinner, guys. And they said to the blind man, who was really blind there? They said to the blind man again, what do you say about Jesus because he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. You know, he knew that Jesus was something special, but he didn't quite realize yet. And the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him and received his sight. They're like, no way, this is not true. This guy's a fraud. And so they called his parents in. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who was born blind? How then does he now see? Remember, the parents had a lot riding on this. You know, if you got in trouble with these guys and they kicked you out of the temple, out of the synagogue, that was like your whole center of life. How could you go worship God? How could you be a part of the community if you were excommunicated? And so his parents, in fear, and I added that, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. This is definitely our kid. He's born blind. But he says, we have no idea what happened. We have no idea. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. And or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. Like, he's an adult. It's on him. It's not on us, right? His parents were afraid, and the parents didn't have faith, and the parents didn't know, right? It's interesting coming to faith as a child or even as an adult, the first person in your family. The rest of your family is not going to vouch for you, right? You've got to share your faith with them. But they see. They're like, yeah, that's our kid, but we can't explain it. And verse 22, it says what I said. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that Jesus was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, if he is of age, ask him. Again, these guys are ruling by fear, not by faith. So again, they called the man who was blind. They said to him, give God the glory. He would. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And we know that this man is a sinner. You know, tell the truth. Give God the glory, not this man. This man's a sinner. And this guy answered. I love it. He says, verse 25, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. And when they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I love his attitude here. He says, he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Like, wow. The guts of this man. Like, he knew it. He doesn't really know who Jesus is totally yet. But he knows that Jesus has the power to heal him, that these guys did nothing for him his whole life. These guys passed by him his whole life, looked down upon him, could care less about his ailment. And Jesus shows up one day, spits in some mud, disgusting, puts in his eye, says, go wash. He can see, and he has the power to stand up to these guys. He knows more than they do. I love it. He says, you guys want to be his students? You guys are such students of the scripture. You keep asking about him. You want to be his disciples? I love it. And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Like, we, you know, you're his student, but who cares? We're Moses' disciples. We've got better authority. Verse 29, we know that God spoke to Moses, and for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. This is great. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing. You don't know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. Like, how foolish and dumb and blind are you that you have no idea where this guy comes from? Like, come on. Has anyone ever opened someone's eyes born blind? You know, like, they're making Neuralink now, putting a little computer chip in your brain. Their hope is that they're going to give sight and skill, and I think that's awesome. But they ain't spitting in mud and putting it on this guy's eyes, doing a miracle. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you are completely born in sins. You're teaching us. And they cast him out. They think that they're holier than thou. They think that they were born perfect. They think that they had all the answers because they were children of Abraham, because they studied the law. But they had no idea who God was. They thought they, and this is the worst thing. When we think we know who God is, when we think we know what the right way is, and then God actually shows up and we don't recognize him for who he is. When it's plain to see, when even the unlearned man, this guy's born blind. He's probably been a beggar his whole life. How much could he do, especially back then? Been dependent on his parents, right? Like, it was disabled. It's a hard life. And he knows more than them. It's easier for him to see who Jesus is than not. And that's what we're looking at Sunday. The Jews missed Jesus, and the Gentiles are like, oh, it's obvious that they were so close, but they missed it. And God doesn't want any of us to miss out on who he is. He doesn't want to get anything to get in the way of you seeing him for who he is. But we have to give place to his word. We have to abide in his word. We have to listen to his word. We have to let his word be in us and change us and open our eyes. That we have to allow that water of that word to come wash our mind, to come wash our eyes, that we might see God clearly for who he clearly reveals himself to be, and not who someone on TV says, not who someone in the pulpit says, not who our parents say, not who ourselves say, but who he himself says he is. Because Jesus says right here, like, I bear witness of myself and I am the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that's the real evidence that Jesus is from God, is that this man was set free from blindness and that people were set free from sin. And that's a great way to test in our lives. Is this really God? Does this thing set me free? Does this doctrine set me free, or does it put me into more bondage? Does this way of thinking make me begin to think different things that put me in a box? Now, again, there's self-control. There's doesn't mean freedom to sin. But are we truly free in Jesus? Because we will be free. The truth will always set you free. And that's why the enemy hates the truth. That's why people who are in bondage and use it to control others hate the truth, because they know once you have the truth, they can't control you. That's why we have free speech in our country. That's why they don't like the internet and saying things, because when you can find out the truth, they lose all power over you. And Jesus wants to be the only one who has power over you, because he will make you free and a child and no longer a slave. That the thing is, when you see Jesus, he doesn't want you to be a slave anymore. Amen? Amen. Amen. So God, thank you for your word and your grace. Thank you that, Lord, most of all, you want us to see you. That's why you sent your son, that God, no man can stand in your presence, and yet you sent your son to be in our presence, that we could see you exactly for who you are, a one who judges rightly and doesn't come to condemn. And yet, when you do judge, it will be perfectly right. And so God, open our eyes, help us share with others, help us see you for who you are and share that with others, and not be afraid of those who hate us for it. God, because you're the one who changed our lives, who opened our eyes when no one else could, and we thank you for that. Thank you, God. Forgive our sin. Give us faith. And God, may you come soon. Until then, grow your church, your people all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind, and all we drink first light until